This message is presented to you by Pastor Cliff Reynolds and Word Alive Church in Elwood City, PA. For more information, visit wordalivechurch.info.
And they sewed her back up, but there's some bleeding. They have to go back in. And so we want to pray right now. Marge, I'm going to ask you if you would pray for Fran right now. Some complications in this open heart surgery. And would you believe God with us? Right now, everybody, just agree for Fran right now. She is actually the mother-in-law of my niece, Bethany, who comes to the church here. So would you pray for her?
Father God, we just bring Fran before you tonight, Father God. Lord, we lift her up, Father God, and we ask, Lord, that you would touch her body, touch her heart, Father God. Heal whatever is wrong there, Father God. You're the healer, and we stand on your word, Father God, and we know that everything that concerns her, Father, you've already taken care of. So, Father, we ask that you would bless her, Father, direct the surgeons on what they have to do, Father God, and that she will be A-okay in the name of Jesus.
Some good news is Jesse Schaefer, we just heard today that she may come home Friday or Saturday. Isn't that good? She had brain surgery. Hallelujah. And it's successful. Thank you, Lord Jesus. God is good. You know, it helps. If, when you're going to surgery, you're going to the doctor, whatever, be sure to get people praying for you. Because God can do something through those surgeons and technicians and doctors' hands and nurses and everybody involved. He can do something to bring about the right end, the one that we desire. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Well, Father, we open the Word of Life tonight, and we thank you for your Word and ask that you illuminate it in our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you know, I came here with a message tonight, but I'm just not sure if that's the one I'm supposed to preach. You know, do we have a video back there that we can show, Rick? I think there's a video. Yeah, there it is right there. The Euphrates River drying up before and after proof. Look at this.
Within the Bible, this is an amazing footage I came across from 2020 in comparison to 2021 in the same spot. You'll see right now, here's 2020. You'll see how full it is, and you'll see here in a moment just the level that it's dropped to. Just absolutely seeing Bible prophecy in front of our eyes. And this we know will come to pass because of Revelation 16:12, when the sixth angel pours out his vial on the river Euphrates, and the water therefore is dried up, so the kings of the east can be prepared. So that was 2020, and as you can see here, 2021, and the river is completely dried up. We aren't at the part of Revelation where the angels are pouring out their vials, but it's moving towards this time. And I believe that this is a foreshadowing, God giving a warning for people to actually see that the Bible is real and to get their hearts completely right before the angel pours his vial on the river and it's completely dried up and the four angels that are bound there are loosed. That will cause absolute havoc upon the earth as mentioned in Revelation 9:13-15.
Okay, now this gentleman took this video, and it shows 2020 and then 2021, and it shows how it has dried up in just a year's time. And it's prophesied about in the book of Revelation, in Revelation chapter 16, verse 12, and just don't get nervous now. It doesn't mean we're in the tribulation. Okay, he pointed that out. But it's kind of a foreshadowing of something that will take place during the tribulation period, of which we will not be around. We'll not be there for it. And it says in Revelation 16:12, and the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up. The Euphrates River dried up. And there we just saw it happened. But this is not the tribulation yet, but because the rapture has not occurred. But this is going to come probably in a greater way, in a more compounded way later on. The way of the kings of the east, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. Now, it also refers to Revelation chapter 9. You go to chapter 9, verse 13. Revelation 9, 13. Now, you say, are you trying to frighten us? No. As we said before, we're not trying to scare you. We're trying to prepare you. Prepare you in what? Prepare you to be ready for the rapture of the church. Prepare to go. Amen? Because we don't want to be in that number that stays behind, right? In Revelation chapter 9, verse 13, it says, let's see, 9, 13. It says, "And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loose the four angels, which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year for to slay the third part of men. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000. So here are a couple of scriptures that refer to this event that's going to take place during the tribulation period. Now, it's interesting because we looked at Revelation chapter 8 and verse 11 a while back, and you recall we talked about the wormwood. Wormwood, which means bitter. Revelation 8:11. I think we even showed a movie clip on that as well that showed that this wormwood is an asteroid or a meteorite or something like that that's going to hit the earth during the tribulation period. And it says, "In the third part of the waters became wormwood or became bitter, and many men died of the waters because they were made bitter." And so I think I told you too that I've discussed this with a professor, a PhD in astronomy from Pitt, and he said, yeah, this something like that, if an asteroid would hit the earth, it would create a chemical reaction, and they would emit vapors and gases and things that would go up into the atmosphere and actually create acid rain that would come down on the earth and then kill crops and embitter the waters and so forth. So these are two events, just two of many, many events that are going to take place during the book of Revelation, or during the tribulation period, I should say. But the good news is that you and I can avoid this completely when we're living for Jesus, when we're sold out to Him. And, of course, we looked at Matthew chapter 25, and we said, talked about the 10 virgins, and it said it represented the church because they were going into the marriage of the Lamb. And we know that 5 virgins were wise and 5 were foolish. The 5 wise virgins were prepared. They had oil in their lamps. The 5 foolish virgins ran out of oil and they said, "Hey, give us some of your oil, And they said, "We can't do that now. It's too late. You were ill prepared." And so they didn't go. The door was shut and they didn't go into the marriage of the Lamb. And so they were left behind. So now, take it for whatever it's worth. One theologian said that represents the fact that only 50% of the body of Christ is going to go in the rapture. Because, there it is. Right? I don't know. Take it for whatever it's worth. But are there people who perhaps, maybe some of these pastors that are unwilling to talk about abortion? Or maybe people who are unwilling to support Israel, or people who are behind the BDS movement against Israel, or people who, this whole transgender thing are caught up in that, or doctors who are actually doing surgeries to mutilate children to change their gender. Are they going to heaven? I'll leave that up to God, but the point is, you can be a nominal Christian or you can be a sold-out Christian. You can be among the 5 wise or the 5 foolish virgins. The Bible does say, "He that is often reproved by the Lord," or chewed out or directed, "he that is often reproved but hardens his neck," meaning he doesn't listen to it. He doesn't want to listen to it. He turns his head. It says, "will be suddenly cut off, and that without remedy." So, I don't want to be in that number. I shared that scripture with a guy here just recently. And, just to wake him up. I'll say it again. It says that he that is often reproved hardens his neck, and he will suddenly be cut off, and that without remedy. So, we don't want to wait to that point where we're suddenly cut off, right? No, we want to get both feet in the kingdom. We want to be serving God. And incidentally, let me tell you this about a transgender guy. There's a fellow by the name of Ollie London. And at one time in his life, this young man thought he wanted to be a woman. So he went through all the transgender hormonal treatments and surgeries and everything else. And he was I think, I don't know how old, I'm guessing probably about maybe 28, 29 years old, something like that. And he was absolutely miserable in his life. But no purpose. And he came to know Jesus. He got born again. And he says, I finally found my true purpose in life. And now, as a born-again Christian, he's telling other young people and parents, listen, do not allow your child to be mutilated or given hormone treatments and so forth. As a child, do not allow this to happen. This is wrong. And he says, I never found my true destiny or my purpose until I made Jesus the Lord of my life. And he was my full fulfillment. His name is Ollie London. In fact, maybe sometime one of you could Google his name, O-L-I London. And he's actually British. He's from Great Britain. And maybe you can get a video on him and we can show it sometime. But anyhow, where was I? The door was shut, right? And so we don't want to take that opportunity, or we don't want to take that chance. No, we don't want to be part of the. Look over there in Romans chapter 1, because here's another group that I think is jeopardizing their eternity. Romans chapter 1, and beginning with. Hopefully somebody watching tonight will take this seriously, take it to heart, and let there be a heart change. You know, Bible prophecy, when it comes forth, it's not meant just to give you information. It is meant to bring a heart change. Every single Bible prophecy is meant to touch your heart and bring about a heart change so that you will commit to Jesus wholeheartedly, sell out to Him. Romans chapter 1, and it says in verse 20, the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. People are without excuse to say, well, I didn't know about God. Right? Well, we know about God as we look at the mountains and the skies and the sea and all the things that He's created. We know that there's a God by creation, right? We have no excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. They became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Verse 22, professing themselves to be wise. And they went around saying, well, I'm really smart. I'm really intelligent, you know. I'm really a wise guy here, you know. Well, the Bible says that hath not God made foolish the wisdom of the world. Amen? And He uses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, right? So He says, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Now, do you know what fools in the Greek is? I think it's M-O-R-O, moronus, something like that. But anyhow, here, where we get the word moron, you become a moron. It's exactly true. When you think yourself more wise than God, professing themselves to be wise, they became morons, is really what it's saying. And so it says in verse 24, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. In other words, perverse sexual relationships that were never intended. People doing things with their body that God never intended. They were not natural. They're abnormal. And they're dishonoring their own bodies between themselves. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Now, where it says back in verse 24, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness. Now, where it says gave them up, really what it means, the Greek word is paradidaimai, and it means He gave them up, meaning He released them. God released them. That's not God's will, but He just took His hands off of them. He just released them. Amen? To their own uncleanness. In verse 26, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. You know, I had to read that in the NLT version because I think it's maybe just a little clearer or helpful to, for us to understand in Revelation, Romans chapter 1. Remind me to go to Daniel chapter 12. Somebody, in case I forget. All right. So, Romans chapter 1, where was I reading? Verse 26. 1:26 says, that is why God abandoned them to their own shameful desires. Even the women turned against the natural way to have sex and instead indulged in sex with each other. Lesbianism. And the men, instead of having normal sexual relationships with women, burned with lust for each other. Men did shameful things with other men, and as a result, suffered within themselves the penalty they so richly deserved. So do you think we can live any way we want to and still go to heaven? I don't. No. According to this, when they refused to acknowledge God, He abandoned them to their own evil minds and let them do things that should never be done. Their lives became full of every wicked kind of wickedness, sin, greed, envy, murder, fighting, deception, malicious behavior, gossip, and so forth and so on. So, the Bible says that the time will come and people will not endure sound doctrine. And I want to be one of those preachers that lets you know that abortion's wrong. I want to be part of that 2% that I was telling you about Sunday. That lets you know that those things are wrong. Now flip over there with me to Daniel chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12. So what are we saying tonight? We're saying Jesus is returning. And we need to be ready and stay ready. Stay prepared. Look for His coming. The blessed hope of His return. And don't allow yourself to be seduced by the world. It says it in Timothy, it says, the Spirit speaks expressly on this wise, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, doing what? Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. So you got to watch. Don't give heed to seducing spirits, doctrines of demons, things that are contrary to the Word of God, right? And people are being deceived all the time, aren't they? So, stick with the Word of God, and it'll get you through, and it'll bring revival. As a matter of fact, I'm going to look at Habakkuk before I go to Daniel. Habakkuk chapter 3. Habakkuk chapter 3 and verse 2 says, O Lord, I have heard thy speech, and I was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known. In wrath, remember mercy. So God, revive thy works. He wants to revive His people. Judgment begins in the household of faith. Amen. God wants to turn the church around so that the church can be effective. So the church can go out and lay hands on the sick, cast out demons, and make a difference, right? Hallelujah. Glory to God. And so let's go to Daniel then. Daniel chapter 12. And so, Daniel chapter 12, verse 2 says, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. Well, as I read that, I think that sounds to me like the rapture. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 says that the dead in Christ will rise first. And then we which are alive and remain will be caught up with the Lord, together with them, and meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Glory to God. Amen. So sleep in the dust of the earth, what's going to happen? They're going to awake. Some to everlasting life and to shame, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Well, there's going to be a group that's going to be wakened up. That's why it says, blessed is he who hath not part in the second death. Because there's some that are going to be awakened at a point in time where they're going to go and stand before the white throne judgment only to hear that they're part of the goats and they're condemned. You know, there's going to be the separation of the sheep and the goats. And so there's going to be some that are going to go in that group, and they're going to be judged to everlasting contempt at the end of the millennium, the white throne judgment. But it says here, and they that be wise, and they that be wise. What's the Bible say in Proverbs? That he that wins souls is what? Wise. He that wins souls is wise. I said, he that wins souls is wise. In other words, when you open your mouth and you tell somebody about Jesus, right? I mean, if you're a Christian, you're going to have to do that. I mean, it's going to be part of your nature. You can't help it. It's just like people automatically produce, when they get married, they produce children, right? Luke just got married, Luke and Emily. It's probably not going to be too long. They're going to have children pretty soon. It's a natural course of events. You know, what's that song say? Love and marriage, go together like a horse and carriage. No, what's first comes love and marriage, and then comes a baby carriage, something like that. But that's natural. See, what's very natural for a Christian, if you're truly a Christian, if you're born again, if you're not got one foot in the world and one foot in things of God, if you're sold out, this is going to be part of you. You want to produce offspring.
Amen.
Because the Bible says he loves them that begat. We love them that he begat. How does that work? It's in 1 John. It says he loves us because we've been begotten, but we also have this desire to beget others. To have offspring. And so we're gonna do this in this end time, this revival time. And notice it says, and they that be wise shall what? Shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. They're gonna shine. When you're wise, what are you gonna be? A soul winner, right? He that wins souls is wise. And he'll shine as the brightness of the firmament. And they that turn many to righteousness. Glory to God. I'm talking about change agents. I'm talking about ambassadors. I'm talking about representatives. I'm talking about people of impact. Glory to God.
Amen. Amen.
Turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. You know, there's a special place. I believe there's going to be a soul winner's crown in heaven. Yeah, there's going to be a crown of righteousness, but I believe there's also going to be a crown for soul winners, a soul winner's crown. And they're going to shine as the brightness of the firmament, they that turn many to righteousness, as the stars forever and ever. So when you get together with your friends, you have a little dinner, maybe go to Applebee's or something, don't let it just be a secular evening. No. Bring up the topic of Jesus, and you must be born again. And tell them, pray this prayer, and mean it in your heart. And 23 will be your best year ever, guaranteed. Because the year I prayed that prayer and made Jesus the Lord of my life was the best year of my life. And what are you doing? You're giving them the reason for the hope that is in you. Which the Bible says, 2 Peter 3:9 says that's what we're to do. Give people a reason for the hope that is in us. Oh, glory to God. Well, let's go on here. But thou, O Daniel, verse 4, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. When is this going to be? At the time of the end. In other words, the end times. He says, is there anything in the Bible about the end times? There it is right there, the time of the end. Right? Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. In other words, there's going to be increased movement. Why is there going to be increased movement? People running to and fro. Knowledge abounding on our smartphones and on our over computer. I mean, there's so much knowledge. This little thing, I mean, well, my wife's got my phone. But that little thing, I mean, you can learn anything on that. You say, Siri, what's the weather forecast for tomorrow? Here it is right there. Tomorrow, cloudy, chance of rain 20%. 4 degrees. No, that's Celsius. Okay. But you can get find out anything you want. 20% chance of rain. That's right. Okay. But knowledge is running to and fro. What does this reveal? This reveals a restlessness, an uncertainty, a dissatisfaction with life. Without God. But with God, you find a fulfillment. You find a satisfaction. So we need to make a decision, right? We're going to live for Him. We're going to be ready. We're not going to be those who draw back unto perdition. No, we're going to dig our heels in. We're going to, in due season, we're going to reap if we do not faint. Yeah, there's going to be a lot of people left behind. But I got news for you. The Bible is very clear that His people are going in the rapture.
Amen.
Oh, glory to God. Maybe I just got to close with that scripture. 1 Thessalonians. Take a look there. 1 Thessalonians. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. Like one fellow says, I would not have you ignorant, brethren. No, that's not the right emphasis. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep. We'll not precede them. No, the dead in Christ are going to rise first. Somebody said, well, how's come they're going first? Well, they got 6 feet farther to go than we do. So, you know, God's going to let them go first. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. We're going to be caught up. We're going to be raptured.
Amen.
The word rapture comes from the word rapiramor, and it means to be carried away with emotion, bliss, ecstasy,
yes.
Exhilaration.
Glory. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, sometime I'll give you the rundown because some people say, oh, well, that rapture thing is just a stupid concept by John Darby. I've got to write my notes here. I'm ready for those people. Got it in the front of my Bible as soon as I find it. It shows that John Darby, it wasn't a pipe dream by John Darby. No. I'll tell you this a little bit before we leave. The rapture was taught about in 270 A.D., long before John Darby. It was taught in the 300s, that's the 4th century. At the Vulgate, the rapture was taught in Latin. In the 4th century, Ephraim the Syrian taught the rapture. All of this was before, and by the way, John Darby lived in 1828. So people say, oh, that's just a pipe dream of John Darby. No, it was taught clear back in the 1st century, or the 2nd century, 3rd century, 4th century, the 5th century, cleared up to the 15th century, the Dark Ages, Gutenberg printing Bibles printed, in the 16th century by John Meade, it was taught. 17th century by Gill. 18th century by Morgan Edwards. So it's not a pipe dream of a guy in 1828. No. It's been taught for years. And I believe in the rapture, and I'm going to go. If you want to tribulate, you go right ahead. I'm going in the rapture. But be sold out to Jesus.
Amen.
Don't be a half-hearted, half-baked Christian.
Amen.
No. Get on board. Be a committed Christian.
Right. Get right.
You don't want to be in the foolish virgins. You want to be one of the wise virgins. Let's stand tonight. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Thank you. Father God, we love you. We thank you so much for your goodness. God, thank you that your word speaks to us, Father, and gives us hope for tomorrow, help for today. And Father, not only do you want us to be ready, but you want us to be full of the Holy Ghost so that we can be used by you, Father. Bring in this end time harvest. So, Father, I pray every person will get filled with the Holy Spirit and be totally filled to overflowing, Father, and be ready to be used by you. We thank you for all that you've provided for us, Father, the power of the Holy Spirit within us. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Those of you watching tonight, just say this with me. Jesus, be Lord of my life. Come into my heart. Thank you for forgiving me of my past sins. Thank you for loving me. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more information, please visit wordalivechurch.info.